My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
A Mochi moment from Mark, who writes, "I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
How did we do that?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Super Scrumpy Cast. I'm Scrumpy's handler, Joel, joined by David McDonald. It's Wednesday, 17th of September. Meow. This is episode 379.
Yes, yes, it is. Chaos out there in England going on. A lot of cat meowing and people are going to be doing some washing up, and Joel's just completely frustrated. And he's just, I'll do the washing. That's when you know you've reached the end of the line. You're just, I'll just fucking do it. I'll do it. So good. Married life. Isn't it great?
The best. What's awesome is waking up and... No.
Uh-oh. He's self-censoring himself.
I'm self-censoring myself.
You're self-censoring yourself. You were like, I'm going to say something. And then you're like, ooh, if that gets back to her, it's
I spent half my morning trying to pull a tick out of Scrumpy's head.
Okay.
And it's not easy. He was not enjoying that. No, sure. Because it was in there deep. And I had to try and get in there deep. Because as you know, when removing a tick, if you don't get in there deep, it's not going to come off. And worse yet, you might detach the body and not actually detach the head. And then you're really screwed.
Okay. How'd it go?
It took about 15 minutes. And yeah, Scrumpy wasn't having a good time. Usually he's a very chill cat, as you know, you've met him. But
yes.
He was, every time I was sort of going back for another attempt, he was not having it.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, you know, especially if you have an outdoor-y cat, you know, it's tough. It's because you got to constantly check and you got to, and you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere. So, yeah, I just love the fact that it has that little GPS tracker thing and his fucking routes. That is the coolest thing. I'm just like, how does he know? How do you get back? It's just, animals are just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, I get lost going around the block. A cat goes miles and winds up back home. Hey, everybody. Just had a little adventure. Oh, by the way, here's a dead squirrel. Here's a dead rabbit as a gift. Thanks, everyone.
I'm trying to...
What's wrong?
It seems to not be picking up your audio.
My audio? Oh, no.
Yeah, on OBS. I'm going to close it. I'm going to try again.
All right.
So let's try that.
Try it again.
Oh, okay. I think it's doing something now.
Hello, internet?
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Okay.
That's better.
Management. Now we're talking. Now we're smoking. Now we're, yeah, we've only done this 300 and how many times? 70-something times. Actually, that's a lie. We've been streaming via the YouTube probably not even a year now, right?
Yeah, I think we started in January.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, look at us. Yeah. Oh, well.
I think so. All right. Well, we started the Patreon. That's
You sound a little solemn. You all right? Everything all right?
Yeah. I was reading the Daily Mail, Damon.
Yeah?
It's my favorite.
Catching up on the news? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Thinking Man's newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Transport union firebrand mocks commuters hit by London Underground strike from swimming pool in Mallorca. So you stumbled across this news article, have you, Damon? Has that made it across the pond?
You know what? I heard something about it. I was very busy this week. But I did hear, I did hear that headline. Very, very shocking. Do you have any further details on anything like that?
Yeah, this is a curious one. A transport union official openly mocked commuters hit by crippling London tube strikes last week from the luxury of a swimming pool in Mallorca. This is disgusting, Damon. So listen to this. While millions struggle to get around the capital as a network ground to a halt, Daniel Gibbons, who sits on the executive committee representing thousands of rail, maritime and transport members, was busy documenting his break in the sun on Facebook. Hold on a second, Damon. That name rings a bell. Is that name familiar to you? I can't quite put my finger on where I've heard that name before.
Give it again. What is the name again?
Daniel Gibbons. I'll give you some more information. From Wellington, Kent, member for the South East, took time out of his holiday at the £129 a night Blue Sea Club Martha's to slam one woman. I don't know if this is slam sort of figurative of like or in a wrestling sense. Is this some sort of body slam this person has done, who complained about the impact of the strikes in London as dense? Daniel Gibbons, it's right there. I feel like I've heard of this person before.
maybe we have. Maybe we have. I don't know when to stop the bit or when to, because I don't want to ruin it for you. You were so excited. And I was like, I don't want to stop all over him. Like I always do. Oh, Dan.
Editor Dan, you're cancelled. Sorry.
Yep.
I don't make the rules.
Yep. Sorry, you know, with your Mai Tai, with your...
You spent money to go on a holiday. You spent your own money during your time off work to go to another country on holiday, and that's beyond the pale.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a responsibility, Daniel, as you're affectionately called in the Daily Mail. Every time I hear that, I think of the Smiths line to The Queen is Dead. But in the Daily Mail, you mocking while you're on vacation. Can I ask a serious question, though? He didn't say anything anything about it. And he was just posted a picture, right? Correct?
No. He slammed a woman. Mm-hmm. So he shared a BBC Politics Live clip of commentator Anita Boateng talking about the frustrating impacts of strikes and argued that tube drivers get a generous enough pay package as it is. Gibbons shared the clip and wrote, "Listen to this person so eloquently talk absolute bollocks. It must be a special gift to be that dense." Mm-hmm. Solidarity to the LUR, London Underground Limited, and DLR, Doctors Light Railway, RMT members.
Okay. But the picture that they stole from his Facebook account, that had nothing. It was just a picture.
It's
right?
Not stolen, Damon, is it? It's a public profile. That's all fair game. That's all free use.
I guess so. Oh, Dan, I saw that and I was like I saw the headline. What's that?
It's a lovely picture. He's got his.
It really is.
His pink. Pink, what would you call that? Sleeveless top. He's sipping his cocktail. He's got his shades on.
Yeah.
Having the time of his life while all those poor commuters and working class people that he claims to be on the same side as
not with that shirt.
Their knees.
that's posh Dan right there. That's, you know.
Waiting for the bus in the rain while he's up there in his ivory tower.
Yeah. You know, sipping on tropical drinks with umbrellas and sleeveless T-shirts. Just a disgrace. Just a disgrace. You know what? Now it all makes sense, Joel. Because as you are well aware, my train was delayed by 45 minutes. 45 minutes getting home. And they claim it was... Oh, it was a train that needed repair that was ahead of us. Bollocks, as I've heard many times said before.
Careful, you might get slammed.
I might get slammed. Slammed! Da, da, da. Let me tell you something, Daily Mail. Let me be very clear about this. You stink. I don't know, whatever. But I saw it. Like, he sent that, and I was like, oh my God, that's you, Dan. I panicked. I was like, Dan, what the fuck? What's happening? What's happening? Are you okay? Do you
he's
need
so
bailment?
Proud of himself.
Oh, he's so proud. Oh my God. He was doing the Ric Flair strut up and down fucking I was trying to think of a main strip in London, but I stink because I couldn't think of anything. Where would he be doing the Ric Flair strut down, Joel?
Oxford Street.
Oxford Street.
Piccadilly Circus.
Piccadilly, of course. Why couldn't I just think of that? I had to get all fancy. Yes. His naked ass in Harrod Square. Harrod Square? Harrod Square is in New York. Harrod's is in London. I'm going to stop trying to make this humorous because my geography stinks. Oh, but Dan, we love him. We love him. Support him 1,000%, 2,000%, 1,000,000%.
A Super J Cast spokesman said Daniel Gibbons is the editor of the Super J Cast through a democratic process. He has holiday entitlements like any other worker. This bears no relation and is not a spokesperson for the Super J Cast. We do not condone abuse of any kind.
Yes. I'm surprised we didn't get dragged in the mud through this somehow. You know, somehow we would have. But lo and behold, he kept it incognito.
Yeah. Isaac Croson, he's not done his homework there, because if he'd pulled on that thread a bit more, he could have got us involved.
Yeah. I had a joke, but I can't fucking think of the guy's name. Why can't I think of the guy's name? Who did he almost get in a fight with?
Michael Craven.
Michael Craven. Well, that's Michael Craven's pen name. I just didn't want to let you. Oh, boy, that joke stinks even more now. I'm trying to explain. I'm terrible today. All right.
Damon, can you just talk for a little bit? I'm going to give Scrumpy a pouch because he will not shut the fuck up.
I got it. I'll talk about the nothingness that is happening. We had a little powwow, Joel and myself, thinking, what possibly could we be talking? Could we be talking about some of those multi-man tags? Could we be talking about future shows? I don't want to say anything because I just want the listeners to hear what's going on.
It's going to be an all timer.
Yeah, yeah. I want to. So what's right, so we're okay. Everybody's fine. Just everybody's a little riled up. Kids are asleep. I haven't heard a child yet.
Yeah, kids are sleeping.
All right,
all
there you go.
All good on that front.
At least you have that. At least you have that peace of mind. Oh, it's starting to rain. Yes. As I was explaining to our lovely listeners, what are we going to talk about? And where I'm winding up is we're just going to kick New Japan right in the fucking balls.
Because you want me to go to the New Year party?
Oh my God. This hunk of shit. Yeah, this New Year party. So if you are going to Tokyo, New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to have a 2-hour little meet and greet at Yano's, Eberides or whatever the fuck it's called. How much is it? $60? $60 they want out of you. And it's a 2-hour open bar. We'll see how that goes. And all the chonko you can eat. God damn it. There's going to be 12 people at this fucking thing. Okay, where was I after these technical difficulties? Yano's $60. They're going to reach into your hand. They had pictures up of old events, and it looked like there were 8 people there. We have absolutely quadrupled them, at least out of 8 people. For our previous meetups. So here's what you do, Joe. Here's what I'm suggesting. One, I will pay so that you can go to this fucking bullshit. Oh, wait a minute. Is that somebody we know in the middle there?
Yes, we do know this person. Quite a well-known household name in the New Japan world, or was. Until several fairly recently, I'd say. Between Chris Charlton and Rocky Romero. And I'm just trying to imagine more, like, who is it that used to sit in between Chris Charlton and Rocky Romero?
I had a blur out his face. Oh my God. So sad. You fucking, oh my God. It's Kevin Kelly, for crying
good
out
friend
loud.
And of the show, Kevin Kelly. And we on the Super J's cast endorse all of Kevin Kelly's political opinions. Very, very much echoing our own. Why do you think they swelled his face out, Damon? What's the thinking there?
Well, if you look at the page, it's it says due to Japanese, I don't want to say customs, we have blurred out images of people. Like not associated with New Japan. So you would think, okay, it's just like, you know, people protecting their privacy and all. No, they went all out and fucking wiped Kevin Kelly off the face of the fucking earth. Aww. Come on. Kevin. Did you see he was doing I know. You know, Kevin was doing a little podcast action with the former, London Joel. Yeah. I wonder how that went.
Yeah, because they said they're going to be doing something soon. There's going to be like episodes going into Kevin's time in New Japan. He's going to be distant. I was really looking forward to it, but I've not seen anything yet.
I mean, it's just what the world needs, another New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I think there is room because the official New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast, I mean, they record what, once every 6 months? So, there's plenty of room to slide right in there and get a piece of this lucrative pie of New Japan Pro Wrestling podcasts. Boy, oh boy. So either A, I'll pay for it so you can go and just be a drunken fucking obnoxious jabron. You have your own and you go head to head with them and see who gets more.
Yeah, that's a you've thrown down the gauntlet there. Maybe we should I should unite forces with all the other podcasting friends who are going over there.
Yes. Yeah. Now you're talking. Do that, but it has to be outside
of Retas. We're like me and John yeah. Carroll and Jeremy and Josh from Keeping It Strong Style. Maybe if we were Stiff Boys, we'll just all be out there with our mics, just set up a little table or just on the street.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, I don't know what laws there are that would discount you from doing that, but I think that's a wonderful idea. Right out there, everybody just got their mics and just one big circle jerk. That'd be wonderful. Oh boy, $60 to get in. Unbelievable. And then and then they relaunch the global fan account, fan club, should I say. That is another, what did I say? Is it another $60 a year or is it $90 a year? Something preposterous. And you get literally nothing. Oh, I'm sorry. You get access to exclusive events that you'll never be able to attend. Tickets, right? You'll be the first in line for future tickets. Okay, great. So you'll use that once. And 5% off at the shop. 5% I swear to God, it's 5%. Holy fucking shit. Save your money and just buy a merchandise that you want. Just pay for it. You know what I mean? Because everything else is absolutely fucking useless. I cannot imagine. Like, this company just wants their hands in your wallet so desperately that it is trying to monetize everything. You name it. They're going to fucking monetize.
Out $22 to watch Shinichi Chan wrestling special event presents the gimmick show that they just did. That was pay-per-view. So it's quite an expensive hobby.
That's preposterous as well. It really has been. It really has become. And again, that's over and above your monthly New Japan World subscription. It's just, again, it's not like it's thousands of dollars. I understand. But come on, people. What the fuck?
I wish I was on the editor, like, Dan Gravy seriously. Train. I wish I was one of those, you know, train drivers, train workers who are just rolling in the cash right now.
Ugh. That's the kind of shit that just annoys me to no end. I swear to God, I pray to the pro wrestling gods above that no one is naive enough to shell out money for a fucking fan club. What the fuck year is this? A fan club. Who do you show that to? Do you go to wrestling events and say, I'm a member of the New Japan Pro Wrestling Fan Club. Ugh. Ugh. Jesus Christ. It's embarrassing. It's even more embarrassing that I'm complaining about it, but it's embarrassing.
What about the unlimited popcorn?
I know! Oh my God, I saw that. Oh! I'm telling you what, I would eat $60 worth of popcorn. I'll tell you also what, if I went there and it was $60 for 2 hours of open bar, my ass wouldn't move from that bar. I would be just slamming down $60 worth of drinks. Absolutely. And you know they're going to be like watered down. Oh my God. You can't have a good time. You can't have a good time without somebody with their fucking hands. You know what? Please.
The last thing you want to do is meet up with a bunch of wrestling fans. I understand that. But do it. Please. And get them all. Just like you said, get everybody. Go to Fridays. Everyone go there or wherever. Who the fuck cares? I'm just saying Fridays just because it's there at Corkin. And just ruin their night. Please.
Alright, fire away after fucking technical difficulty. I fucking hate Zencastr. I swear to God. You know what, Kevin Kelly, Joel, if you're listening, London Joel, don't use Zencastr for your fucking podcast. Don't do it. They stink. They fucking stink. I'm telling you, the worst. Fuck you, Zencastr. Fuck you in the fucking mouth. Okay, you can go ahead, Joel.
So we've got a question here from Mo Meth and Mo Problems. He says, is this the most boring month in New Japan since COVID? Mm. And are Dortmund just an absolute shower of expletives? Yeah, they threw away a 2-goal lead with like 2 minutes left yesterday against Juventus. It's very funny. It is extremely boring. And I like to keep in touch and keep my finger on the pulse with all our New Japan podcasting friends. And I saw Keeping It Strong Star uploaded an episode. And it was our friend Jeremy flying solo, just like, you know, an hour or so by himself, viewing these last few shows, these Road to Destruction shows, like completely earnestly. And oh my God, like what a trooper.
Yeah. God bless.
Of respect, out of love. Like, I'm saying this because I love you, but just don't do this to yourself. Just don't do an episode. It's fine.
I know. I feel. Yeah, to answer the question, it is kind of just like
nothing happening.
I mean, not even like dumb titles changing. Like, there's nothing. Like, there was a Great Bash Heel with a mega reunion.
Is it Most Violent Players? What's the difference between Most Violent Players and Great Bash Heel?
Great Bash Heel was Yano, and Makabe, and wasn't Izuka in that? They were in that six man.
Okay. Most Violent Players was Makabe and Yano initially.
Uh-huh.
This is confusing. So the most violent player, so it started off as it was a Makabe and Yano team, and then evolved to include Ishii.
Yep.
And that was also part of Great Bash Heel. So most violent players were part of Great Bash Heel. This deserves a deep dive, Damon. We could do a whole hour on this. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Stuff. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. It really isn't. And I'm trying to think of like what else would we talk about on those shows? Like, again,
I'll go through my notes because there's just nothing there. And I watched three shows. I can't remember anything from any of them. So there was the Shinichi Champion Presents event thing from Friday. That was at Korakuen Hall. And so this is a lady called Tsumugi Mitani. So she is the host of Shinichi Champion. So that's a Japanese variety show about New Japan, features New Japan wrestlers. It's been running for about 4 years now, I think. So she booked this show, and it was just basically like a DDT show. So there was all this horseshit on it. There was a mask battle royal where everyone came out wearing masks, and to be eliminated, you had to have your mask taken off. And that was won by Hikaru Sato. What the fuck is he doing there? What's the connection here? So he has won the right to produce a Shinichi Champion episode. There was an 8-man tag with House of Torture, Shinichi Champion versus House of Torture. There was a handsome battle rumble, and one of the first entrants was Gabe Kidd. And I was like, what are we doing here? This is not a handsome battle rumble. Hiromu was wearing lots of makeup, which was funny. And the winner of that was Masatoru Yasuda, because everyone else eliminated themselves and he was just the last person left. And the Generation Crash thing, that was quite good. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. Elliot says, is it worth $22 to watch that Generation Crash?
No.
No,
$22? It's not worth
$22. I'll send you the link, Elliot. I'll DM you the place where I watched it, because I'm not putting fucking money down for this. No. So, yeah, silly show. Really good main event. Like, there was good effort. I think everyone worked hard. And I'm doing a big 180, actually, Dan. I'm going to sort of pivot to a point that something I talked about last week, where I kind of made myself think that Zach was leaving New Japan. And I'll say, well, you know, that's okay, because he's wrestled everyone, he's won everything, he's told all the stories. I'm going to do a hard 180 with that.
Okay. All right.
And say, not only do I think Zach is staying, I think he is
a load-bearing Zack Sabre Jr. He's a single point of failure, whereas I think he is responsible for the good stuff in New Japan right now. I think he...
Yes.
I'm noticing a trend, right? Every time, every match involving him, everyone's working really hard. And there's no phoning it in, there's no laziness. It's almost like, you know, he is taking on this role, this sort of leadership role and ambassadorial role when he's doing other stuff outside of the company to be like, right, guys, no fucking about. This is serious. We've got to put on a good show here, because every match that he's involved in, it just seems to be a step above him, and people seem to be working harder than matches that they're in that don't have Zack Sabre Jr. And I've noticed that as a trend pretty much since the G1. Like, you know, you look at Ren Narita, how he wrestled in his match against Zack, to how he wrestled against everyone else. So I now think Zack Sabre Jr. is critical to the at least the short-term future of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I think he's been the MVP this year. And I know he sort of had a lot of stick for Paul Gates and, you know, Wrestle Kingdom main event and everything, but I think he's the most important guy in the company right now.
I think he's the one at least bright spot, and trust me, there are things that you can say, all right, it's not as shiny as it once was, but he is a bright spot. Like, what does that say about this company, though, man? Because I feel it too, in the sense that, like, everything is, at least right now, it's so entirely skippable. Like, it's just, like, it's not going to impact anything. Like, if you took off this entire month, I don't think anyone would be like, oh, you know, make sure you double back and go watch this, or, oh, this is important for the, like, it just feels like they put on shows to collect money from ticket buyers. Like, and that's the worst feeling in the world. And I know some of this was tongue-in-cheek ranty in the five files that we had to use to construct one motherfucking show. But if you go back to file two, in this puzzle that Posh Dan, Daily Mail Dan, has to edit, that doesn't feel great. Like, there's not a ton to sink your teeth into. And dare I say, the worst is yet to come, because World Tag League is right around the corner. So it's like, woof, what are we doing? How are we getting to the dome? And are the people going to be just completely burnt out? Is not the word, but like, are people going to be hand waving Wrestle Kingdom in droves? Like, that has to be a major concern right now. Joel, you tell me, and you take the temperature of the Discord. And again, I feel like these are the most passionate New Japan Pro Wrestling fans. If they took the time to sign up for, speaking of having hands and wallets, for $10 a month, I guarantee you we're going to give you a better value than fucking the yearly annual fee for the New Japan Global Fan Club. But anyway, what's the temperature there? I feel like it is, we are at an absolute bottom when it comes to any buzz on this promotion.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Yeah, I think people are just waiting until destruction in Kobe because there's nothing happening. Like, I've never felt this low energy on the product. Like, we could just wrap this up in the next 5 minutes and I'd be fine. Like, I just don't feel that there's any point in us recording this podcast right now. Like, what's the point? What is there to discuss?
There isn't. It's honestly, I just want to hear your voice is really it. You know what I mean?
Like, I just wanted to make fun of Dan. That's all.
Well, that's true too. We had to squeeze in this. But I cannot believe we're going to send him six files. We're going to send him six files for this.
He deserves it because he's betrayed the common man, the working man.
I agree.
He claims to represent and be a voice for.
Yeah, I think we should. I think this gives him a little taste of his own medicine. You know, mm-hmm. You know, he wants to be this high on the hog, you know, above everyone, you know, just living the high life on the working man's back. And this is what he gets. Six files coming your way. Daily Mail, Dan. What do we got to look forward to with this company? Like, I know destruction, but even that is like, is anybody really looking forward to it?
I am. I mean, surely stuff's got to happen then.
Really? When? When does that happen?
Because they've set up nothing for Wrestle Kingdom, so they're going to have to start setting up stuff for Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
What Fraser said.
I agree with him. But, okay, it's now September 17th, Joel. What are we waiting for? People periodically will chime in and say, is this the lowest New Japan is? And I'm always like, you know what?
It's the lowest New Japan has been yet.
Yet is the key word. Because I got to be honest with you, and I know this is a miserable podcast right now, and we're just taking shots at fucking everything, and we're hoping it burns to the ground.
Let's have equalized against Liverpool. Fuck you, Liverpool.
There you go. There you go. Now you're talking.
They've scored like late winners. They've scored last minute winners in two of their four Premier League games. Mm-hmm. And the other two games, they scored the winners in the last 10 minutes. They're so jammy. It's really annoying me.
Yeah. I tell you what I was watching the other day. I was watching the Manchester Derby. And it was really cool because before the game, they had this gigantic banner and they had like Oasis lyrics on. I was like, Look at that.
Did you see the City fans doing the Poznan?
I sure did.
And none of them damaged their knees. Right.
None of them need ACL surgery. it still hurts, by the way. It's like I had to go to, listen to this. This is what happened to me yesterday. So I in front of my house, I had cement work done. So I had to get a whole new sidewalk, the entire length of the out front, right? So they did that, but that meant we had to park our cars on the street. We couldn't park in a driveway. So it was out there for like maybe four nights, right? Yesterday, I was like, I think we can do that. The time's gone. The guy said it's good. Get over to the car, and I look, and I'm like, wait a minute. Like, legally, we have to have two license plates, one in the front, one in the back. One was missing. And I'm like, did someone steal one of my fucking license plates? So I had to file a police report because if they have my license, they could technically put it on another car and do all kinds of nefarious things. So I had to file a police report, and then I had to go to DMV. The point of this is DMV, the Division of Motor Vehicles in New Jersey, to get new license plates. I was standing in line, and I think that's the problem. Like, standing on hard surfaces does my knees no favors, and it was very tight and sore. Just thought I'd share that with everyone.
Because that's more interesting than anything that's happening in New Japan at the moment. So, yeah.
Thanks. All right. Well, look.
I'll tell you something I'm still enjoying. I'm enjoying the Knockout Brothers and Yuta Ice, and I don't want to, rehash all the same things that I said last time, but I'm really enthused by Yuto and his encounters with Tomohiro Ishii. Again, just the way that he carries himself. He's got, as Rich Craich likes to say, you can see it in his eyes. He's got that dog in him where he's just got the confidence and the swagger. And again, I'm not saying he's going to be future heavyweight champ. He might well be, but there's just definitely something there to be excited about. And I was talking, I hope you won't mind me saying this. He's not going to be listening, and no one who knows him is probably going to be listening either. But I was talking to Alan 4L in the Voices Wrestling Slack channel, and he said that he was standing beside Yuto when he was on his excursion in Germany, whilst Yuto was soaking up advice from Masaki Mochizuki in a way that, you know, he also found very encouraging. They were apparently watching a Miyu Yamashita match, and Mochizuki was sort of pointing all the stuff out that was happening in the ring and miming sequences with Yuto. So, and all the stuff I've heard was that since he and Oscar have come back, they're sort of doing all the right things backstage and, you know, making friends and being respectful, but also, you know, bringing ideas to the table and you know, showing confidence and enthusiasm and soliciting feedback. So, yeah, that's all, I think, something to be pleased about. I don't know where it's going to go. You know, I'm not expecting him to be a main eventer anytime in the next 12 months, but certainly the heavyweight title scene, which has been pretty stale this year. I was happy that Taichi and Ishii won the titles, but it's not like they've done anything exciting with them. But that's, I think, something to look forward to. So I could see, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Taichi and Ishii against the Knockout Brothers. And I mean, I won't predict a winner at this point, but it seems that they are also featuring Shota and Yuya in tag team, some sort of capacity. So it feels like between those three teams, there could be some really good matches there. I don't know who will be champion or who's going to win World Tag League or who's going to be at Wrestle Kingdom. It feels like it's going to be within that triangle of those three teams. So I don't know. Are you joining me on the Yuto Ice hype train? We're putting on the clown makeup saying, actually, this is the guy that I said last time is the guy, is not the guy anymore. Forget that. Forget what I said. Don't hold me accountable to things that and ideas that I had previously. They don't count anymore. It's Yuto Ice. He's the guy now.
He's the guy? Okay. I don't hate him. Like, I don't actually, you know, I'm not like completely fucking hand waving him. I don't think they're bad. I think they're good. It's just there's something that's just not connecting with me, Joel. And I think that's more me than them. Give it time. You know, I'm always a late adopter. I don't know. Like, it feels a little bit indie sleazy. And I know that's a big, people latch on to that because of that. And sometimes it is a little bit tongue in cheek, but, I hear the things you're saying. I really do. And I appreciate the things that they are doing. Can't beat that. I just haven't come around to them. Like, I just don't.
They've not done anything yet, have they? They've had like a handful of, multi-man tag matches on Road 2 shows, so it's not like they've given anyone reason to be all on board. Like, I'm just a thirsty man in the desert searching for a drop of water, so I've forced myself to watch all these shows. So that maybe it's just because everything else is so dead that Yuto Ice is I'm finding disproportionately exciting. But I don't think it is that. I all the other people I've spoken to, a lot of people are excited about Yuto Ice, including people who are not regular New Japan watchers and are quite down on the product. Again, like Voices of Wrestling Slack, which I think is a useful benchmark for kind of casual or lapsed New Japan fan interest in the product. And the little clips that have been on Twitter with Yuto Ice and Ishii having their sequences in the match has got people excited. They're people who have been down and out in New Japan are saying, yeah, this is really good. More of this, please. So I think there is something to it. I don't think I'm completely blown out of proportion.
If they, let's just say that we eliminated them from planet Earth. Let me rephrase the question. Is that the lone thing that you're genuinely excited about with the New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Again, I think I will get excited as we come closer to Destruction. I'm looking through the Destruction card now. So that match, Suji Finley, I'm excited for. Shingo Gabe, to some extent, because I think it will be a good match. You know, whatever you might think, whatever your investment on Gabe, I think those are two wrestlers who will be able to tap into the vibes and present the match in the way that it should be presented. Like, you know, I don't think we're going to see Shingo shooting on Gabe Kidd or anything like that, but, you know, he's smart enough to know the backstory and the feeling of the fans and the resentment and be able to present it with authenticity. Zach versus Ren, I mean, if anyone's going to make that match good, it's going to be Zach. But yeah, it's more like Fraser says, sort of the promise of stuff that they will have to deliver. Like, who's Tanahashi's opponent going to be? Who's Aaron Wolf's opponent going to be? And, you know, various people who may or may not be making returns to the company. Stuff has got to happen. So it's going to have to happen at some point. And yeah, I realize I'm not really giving you a huge.
No, I get it. That's a big problem. Like we're this podcast could have absolutely been avoided. You know, like there's only one place to point the blame, and that's the promotion. They've done a horrible job of creating new stars. They've done a horrible job of promoting from within. They've done a horrible job of keeping talent. They've done a horrible job of making this a destination for not only wrestlers, but fans alike. They've done a horrible job this year. Joe, across the fucking board. Like, from January 5th down, it's been nothing but a steady, slow circling the fucking drain. It's madness. I can only blame the fucking promotion. It's the promotion's fault. It's the promotion's Tony responsibility.
Fault. Tony did it. He's fucked everything up.
You know what? I'm so tired of we have a sloppy shop right now. And you said it, and again, technical difficulties kind of cut the rant in sections, but like there's nothing now that you're going to get excited for. The company's got their hands in your wallet wanting money for every fucking thing that you do. There's nothing that's necessarily on the horizon. There's a lot of promises and a lot of, well, they have to do something, right? And everyone's staring and looking at each other. There's no buzz, but yet you have these core fans that are here because we're begging for them to do something. We're on our hands and fucking knees begging. Like, are you intentionally trying to do something like that? Like, I just don't understand it. They've had so much time and so much wasted effort that I'm kind of at the end of my rope, Joel.
Yeah, I'm at the end of my fucking Liverpool. They've done it again. They've scored another stoppage time winner.
Wow.
I'm right, ready to pull the plug on this whole thing, Damon. You're right. Look, I'm not going to dispute that. Anything that you said, you're correct, but I'm kind of depressed listening to it and agreeing with you.
I know.
So, yeah. I tell you what, Robbie Eagles is back.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and I went on a bit of a deep dive into some of the stuff that he's been doing in Australia with PWA.
Okay.
Some terrific stuff that I've been meaning to watch for a while because it happened last month. But, so I was waiting for a lull in the New Japan calendar to dig into
You're in it.
Yeah, this is the mother of all lulls. So he's had his tremendous feud with a guy called Tuckman in PWA, which is just a really well-told story. So Tuckman, again, I'm not Australian, so I may be sort of misunderstanding the gimmick, but he's like this almost like a lovable loser from a town in Australia, like sort of arse end of nowhere, and just a bit of a geek, ginger,
ginger hair. That, you know, that's always signifies that you're
right.
Just kind of like an everyman, someone that was all was sort of relatable, has failed quite a lot in the past, but came really close to beating Robbie previously. And then Robbie, like, I think kicked him in the head really hard and knocked him out. And they sort of built a whole story around that. And I just really enjoyed Robbie's heel work in this. And I just wish he had more of a chance to do that in New Japan, because watching this match, like, I think they did, plus all the sort of promo, the interview, like the hype packages, they did some really good interview stuff with Tuckman in his hometown, the place called Dubbo. That's the actual name of the town, Dubbo, D-U-B-B-O. Wow. So I had to look that up. And I was looking at pictures of Dubbo and sort of imagining, what would it be like to live in Dubbo, Australia? And I started looking on websites about Dubbo to see what sort of stuff there is to do in Dubbo. Like, if I found myself in Dubbo for a weekend, what sort of things would I be doing? There's Dubbo's oldest building, the Dundalimal Homestead. It's a farmhouse built in around 1840. That's open to the public.
Wow.
There's the old Dubbo Jail, which is now a museum and tourist attraction. And the Dubbo Observatory, where you can see the Milky Way and take some astrography shots. So sounds like you have a lovely time visiting Dubbo. And they've got a Thai restaurant.
There you go.
And it looks pretty good here.
Now we're talking.
It's called Amazing Thai. Amazing Thai in Dubbo. So I really got into this, Dave, and I've really immersed myself into the Tuckman character. And yeah, just Robbie did a tremendous job just being a cunt, basically. Being a horrible little cunt.
Where would one go and watch this?
It's on YouTube. If you just search Pro Wrestling Australia on YouTube, the whole match is up there on free. The match wasn't 45 minutes, but with all sort of the packages and entrances and post-match and everything, 45 minutes. And I had a really great time watching it. And I think, yeah, it's a string to Robbie's bow that would love him to get the chance to flex a bit more in New Japan, because he did such a tremendous job just being a horrible little prick to make the Tuckman character, to build sympathy for him and get him over as a baby face. And yeah, that's actually been some good wrestling with good storytelling that I've been able to sink my teeth into. So there's that. Yeah, I just wanted to give some love to PWA.
Well, listen, they could
Japan.
Yeah, they could easily bring over Robbie Eagles, but, you know, Don Foley's taking up two seats, so it's
Don Foley might need a new partner for World Tag League. If
I know, yeah, what's going on with Chase?
What is going on with Chase? Should we have a look? Should we see what Chase Owens is up to on X.com?
Yeah, I think he was like, he didn't like the hate that was going on. And correct me if I'm wrong, he was like, see ya. Like, all right.
Yes. So his last tweet was yesterday, and it says, too much hate in the world. See you later.
What does that mean?
We're on dangerous ground here, because this is a segment that could age like fucking milk. We might sound like absolute monsters.
I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. Well, I mean, yeah. That seems very, not generic, but very broad. In, you know, what exactly is see ya? Is it you're leaving the platform?
Maybe he's leaving the platform, because just scrolling through the timeline, he's got opinions about Charlie Kirk, and I don't want to talk about Charlie Kirk because I've been depressed enough as it is.
What a show.
Phantasmo. Can I talk about El Phantasmo?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
So he was on commentary for the show that took place on the 13th, and he ruined the show. Yeah, he was just burying everything. Just treating the product with the absolute contempt and disdain that, to be fair, it probably deserves. But if I was on the payroll, put on the color commentary booth, maybe I wouldn't be doing that. But it seems like he's going to get away with it. The main event of that was the NEVER 0.6 man tag team championship match. I'm not going to tell you who was involved in it or who won, because nobody cares, but it was just funny after when the match finished, the team, the champions retained. So the match finishes and then ELP goes, oh, new champions, and then Chris Charles is like, no, they've retained.
See, they don't even know. It's like, it's a bit with me because I'm dumb and old and all that. The fucking guy works at the same company. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Joel.
And,
Also, very important news, Shota Umino won the Noboribetsu Rambo at the good show on the 15th, which I'm sure is going to be the launch pad for him to challenge for the world title in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom again.
Oh, my goodness. Do you a point that again got kind of chopped in the editing and the processes here? Do you feel like, and you made mention of it, that it feels like Zach is the one guy that you can lean on who is going to give you 1,010% every time in the fucking ring, and that doesn't necessarily translate throughout the entire show? And again, some of these shows in the middle of nowhere, I get it. Do you think that the locker room is feeling the same things we're feeling, in the sense of money's too tight to mention? It doesn't feel like there's a lot of direction. We're having shows to have shows. Crowds are smaller than they've been in quite a long time. Like, do you think that the locker room itself is kind of at a tipping point, or dare I say a breaking point?
I don't know. It feels like there's probably some people in the locker room who think like, oh, this is not good. We need to work hard to get out of this. But there's probably equally as many, if not more, who are just quite happy coasting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it feels like. It does. Like, there are people that are getting paid that are like, I can't believe this check cleared. And B, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. I thought it was funny that you mentioned New Japan's payroll. I was like, first thought I said, they have a payroll?
Well, everyone's just getting paid in bottomless popcorn.
2-hour open bar, drink up. Oh, I cannot wait. Can I ask you a question? Has the trip been finalized yet?
Yes.
Oh, look at you. What are the dates?
Flying out on the 27th of December.
Nice. Okay.
And yeah, it's coming back the day after Wrestle Kingdom.
Beautiful. Oh, well, you'll have a great time. Is this the first time the kids are in Japan?
Yes, that's correct. Oh, so, yeah, I'm just excited about being in Japan, eating Japanese food, and the kids experiencing Japan. Like, honestly, Wrestle Kingdom is fairly low on my list of things that I'm excited about on the trip.
How are the kids on a plane?
They have not been on a plane for 2 years. Okay. Well, yeah. So 2 years when we came over here from Thailand.
Right. And they don't remember that.
Esther might, but I mean, Arthur was one, she was three, and they're older now. So
right.
I think it'll be fine.
Do you need drugs? Do you need me to get you some good Ambien, pop it in their chocolate milk. They'll be out the whole entire.
Great idea.
It's a perfect idea, quite honestly. Thank you very much. All right, look, I know this was a shambles of a fucking show, but what else is there to talk about, Joel? Is there anything?
There is a question from Andrew. So he sent this image of a match that's coming up, which I will send to you. I hope this is not going to destroy the recording.
Yeah, I know, I'm worried.
You what's that? Yeah, there's some sort of curse with you checking your phone and this banjo.
I actually, to be brutally honest, I've turned off my phone to avoid any issues.
All right, no, that's fine then. So basically, there's a West Coast pro wrestling match between Gabe Kidd and Carl Fredericks, which is happening in San Francisco on the 1st of November. So Andrew has asked two questions about this. The first, which of these men are more likely to wrestle a complete G1 in the next 5 years? Honestly, at this point, my money would be on DJ Carl.
DJ Carl, yeah. And
Andrew also says, can we read anything into this being the morning of the last major New Japan show before Wrestle Kingdom? So I'll touch on that later. But yeah, I mean, Andrew raises the point, you know, Gabe Kidd's... This guy talks too much. Like, he's constantly banging on about being a man of the people. You know, he's one of us. He understands us. He understands our struggles. He knows what it's like being the small fish, living in the shadow of the billionaires who run roughshod over us. He's pretended to be one of us, but now the mask is off. He's got a bit of cash. And the hypocrisy is laid bare for all to see. You know, he's still claiming to be devoted to the cause with some mealy-mouthed social media post, but to me, he's been exposed as a complete fraud. His words are not only meaningless, but I think they're actively insulting to the people he claims to represent. And deep down, we all know he's a complete sellout. He's sitting there by the swimming pool in Mallorca, sipping his cocktail. Oh, sorry, Damon, I've got mixed up. I've been reading my notes about Editor Dan again.
You have no idea. I was holding my lips because I could see it coming and I didn't want to ruin it. I was just my lips were bleeding. They were so tight. Ah, well done. Well done. Can we end it on that note?
No, so I just wanted to touch one thing. So this match is going on November the 1st, right? So also on November the 1st is a New Japan show in Edion Arena 2. So that's the end of the Super Junior Tag League Tour, which historically has been Power Struggle, which is a pretty big show, right? So that's a decently sized arena, Edion Arena 2. And I've heard that show is basically going to be treated as if it were Power Struggle, like it's going to be a pretty stacked show. And the day after that show, November 2nd, is the Hiroshi Tanahashi final homecoming show. So these are two, I would say, pretty significant shows. And if this Edion Arena show is going to be stacked, and we've got the Hiroshi Tanahashi final homecoming, there's no way Gabe Kidd can be on either of these shows. No. And I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but could this be signifying that he's losing that global title to Shingo? Like, do you think, you know, if it's this, the would you want to have the global champion on these shows? I would think so. So
I would think so.
Something to ponder.
I mean, yeah, but I'll also say Gabe Kidd has done a terrible job of, you know how people are like, oh, well, you know, if he's on AEW television, that'll just give extra prestige to the title and blah, blah, what? The title's
exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, exposure. How's that working out for us?
I don't think I've ever seen that title on AEW television, to be quite frank. Not that I watch a ton of AEW television. Yeah, that's pretty odd, don't you think? Pretty important shows on the New Japan calendar, and he's fucking about with DJ Carl. Mm. what do we do? Here's the problem, Joel. The lunatics are running the asylum, and you can see that from the promos, and you can see that from what's going on in the ring, and you can see people taking bookings haphazardly and all of it. It feels like an absolute, we're circling the drain. It really does. I swear to you, how on God's green earth could he not be on either of those two shows? Ugh. What are we doing?
I'd say there's a fairly good chance Shingo's beating him for that global title, and I think that'd be quite fitting.
I'm all for it. Like, honestly, I'll be 1,000% truthful. Go to AEW, get a nice big fat bag, and fuck right off. Like, I'm over it. Like, it's I'm done. I'm done.
Want to hear his latest social media post? He's put this
Why not?
On Instagram.
Yeah.
So really wise words here. He says, "In a game full of professional bum lickers, I am a top tier fanny scranner."
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not sure I do either.
What does that mean? I'm a fanny scranner?
Yeah, I think that means he performs cunnilingus on women. That's
eat ass is what you're trying to tell me.
No, because in British parlance, fanny means the lady part.
The vagina,
the vulva, or the clitoris.
Oh, okay. All those parts.
And a scran means food. So fanny scranner, I'm assuming that means he likes to give oral pleasure to a lady.
Okay. Well, who doesn't? Okay.
And I don't see what's the connection to in a game full of professional bum lickers.
Yeah, because there's nothing wrong with eating a little ass, Joel, because you know me. Right?
Does he mean it like in the literal sense of performing the sex act of analingus and doing that, or is he talking about bum liquor as in
being, you know, a sycophant, a suck up?
I don't know. I honestly,
a lot to think about.
There really is, and not for nothing. You're already down there, so why not, you know, complete the trifecta? You know, you just get it, get in there like a good boy. I don't know what he's. Who knows? Here's the problem. I don't give a single fuck. Not one. And the problem is that he's lost the fucking plot. Like, it's like oh my goodness gracious. How, yeah, okay, so let's just say he loses the title. That would be fine by me. And then he can go fucking fall off cages. Yeah, exactly. Go fall off cages. And go eat ass or whatever the fuck you're doing. Fannies, whatever the fuck.
That'll do. Knock on the head there.
All right, I'm going to stop. Right.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Emochi Moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Emochi Moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi Moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.